I want to look. I thought I was going to get farther along this week than I think I am. I said last week that we would bring your running shoes, and I see some do have the running shoes on. And last week we looked at and had a message titled "Don't Walk This Way," and we looked at how Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 began to talk to the Ephesian, the Gentiles there, how not to live their lives as the rest of the Gentiles. And so we looked at verses 17 and 18 and 19 as to how they were living their lives and how Paul instructed the people not to go that way. I want to look at verses 20 and 21 today and just bring out a few points, and then we'll continue on next week. And so, Father, as we come to your word, Lord, I pray, and I thank you, O God, that your word is forever settled in heaven. I thank you that your word is altogether different than what I am or who I am. I thank you that it's your word that is the focus today. It is your word that will change and bring life and bring healing. Lord, that as your word is spoken, I thank you that there's power in your word to bring about and produce the outcome for which you sent it. And so let your word have free course today. Let it run very swiftly. And Lord, may it prosper in the thing whereto you sent it in every heart that hears it, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was also going to take up another line that I took up Tuesday night. I'll have to do that another day because I want to stay on focus here. Looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, the scripture, Paul, as he laid out how not to live, last week we dealt with it, the Gentiles who walked in the futility of their mind, darkened understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who were giving themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, Paul declared. In verse 20, he starts again and says, "But you have not so learned Christ." But you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Let me read that again. But you have not so learned Christ if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, what I want to talk about briefly today is hearing, learning, and being taught by Jesus. Because that's in the order that he dealt with it. He said, learn if you have learned, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Now, what's interesting here is that Paul goes right, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. And the immediate thought would be, well, I didn't learn him because that's not how my pastor preached Christ to me. But Paul didn't allude to that. He said, you have not so learned Christ if indeed you have heard him. And so he makes it as if the teaching that is going on is personal, done by Christ himself. And so that's what I want to deal with. In order to learn something, you have to be able to hear most of the time. I don't know how you learn. There are visionary or visual learners where you see and you pick up things. But here, in order to receive instruction, you have to be able to hear. One of the most quoted verses in all of the Bible is Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. It's called the Shema. The Shema. In Hebrew, it is that passage of scripture that reads, hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the Jews in Judaism quote this verse every day, two times a day. And so it's been touted as one of the most quoted verse of scripture. But the exhortation is to hear, okay? And so we must have an ear. Remember, Jesus always taught, he says, if you have an ear, let him who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So here we're admonished to hear. Proverbs 1 and 5 says a wise man will hear and increase learning. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsels. You ever try to talk to a fool? One thing you know about a fool is that you can talk to them till you're blue in the face, but they will never hear you. And with that word here comes the understanding of listening or giving heed to what they're hearing, okay, what they're being told. And so the scripture says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Ecclesiastes 12:13, Old Testament admonition to hear. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole of the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the whole conclusion or the conclusion of the whole matter to fear God and to keep his commandments. This is man's all. Hear God. Well, not only were we encouraged and admonished by men to hear God, but even by God himself. Matthew 17:5 reads that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud came and overshadowed Peter, James, and John. And you know the story. He saw Elijah and Moses, and he said, hey, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Because Peter didn't know what to say. They were asleep. They wake up and, they weren't asleep, but they're caught up in this spiritual vision, and they see Jesus here talking with Moses and Elijah, and Peter's like, well, let's make a tabernacle. Let's put up a tent. Let's keep this going. And while he's talking, the scripture says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Okay. Now, let me tell you something that goes on in the heart of every Christian, bar none. You hear him. You hear him. Every Christian. No Christian can say, oh, I've never heard from God. Sorry. Wrong. Wrong. Definition, what it means to be a Christian is not what people are doing today. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. And live in every way contrary to who Christ is. That's not a Christian. Jesus says this in John 10:27. And Jesus is stating facts. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. He goes on. He says this. And I know them. I know them. And they follow me. He's a facts. He's not saying this is what may happen. No, no. My sheep hear my voice. Now, yesterday as I was looking at some of these scriptures, I thought to myself, you've always heard that the sheep will follow the voice of their shepherd. And so I thought, let me pull up a video. And if you want to do this, it's great. It's actually quite, it's hilarious. It's beautiful, actually. And so on YouTube, this shepherd had all these young people out all the sheep are out there eating and grazing on the hillside. And he had young people come up. He said, go call them. He said quietly. He says, call them. And they came up. They said, la, 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 something like that. And the sheep just sitting there. They ain't even bring their head up. And then they had another young person come up, and they said something. First one was a guy. Then it was two girls. They all called the sheep, and nothing happened. They didn't even move their head. And then the shepherd, the shepherd lifted up his voice. And when he called them, all those sheep went. And they stopped what they were doing. And they all ran right over to the fence where the shepherd was. And they stood right there. They stood right there. I'm looking at this. I'm like, wait a second. Am I really watching? Let me watch another video. Let me go to another video. And so I cut to another, I forget where he is, Netherlands or someplace. And so the video opens up. There's this like prairie, and it's foggy. You can't see anything. And this man, this old gray-haired man, he walks up. He has a backpack on. And he walks up, and he stands there. And it's foggy. I mean, you can't see anything. Fog is touching the ground. And all of a sudden, he starts making this call. And about 10 seconds later, you see these feet come walking out of the fog. They're coming from here, here, here. They're coming from everywhere. And they're coming around him. And he's standing there. He's still calling them. And they're still coming. They're still coming. Why? Because they know the shepherd's voice. They hear. They hear. And it was so interesting because they're just like the sheep in the Bible. They're so skirmish. They get scared very quickly. Sheep, does that remind you of anyone? I mean, the shepherd, even when he pulled the backpack off because he had some feed in the backpack. And he pulled it off and he let it to the ground and he was pouring the feed out and he made a certain motion and one of the sheep just jumped and tried to get away because sheep are like that. And it was no coincidence that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He knows how squeamish, he knows how frightened we can be. And so, my sheep hear my voice. In order to learn, you first have to hear. And Jesus, when he saves us, our spirit is made alive. And Proverbs says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That the spirit is where man receives enlightenment. Okay. The spirit is where man hears from God. You don't hear from God in your mind, in your emotions. Come on. You hear from God in your spirit, in your inner man. So much so, I don't know, like I said earlier, I don't know why the Lord does what he does, but I had an incident happen yesterday while I was cleaning someone's carpet. And the only thing in my spirit, I said, "Lord, why?" And the only thing I could come up with was, "Just so that you know, I'm here. Just so that you know." He has, I don't know, the Lord, you know, any parent here, you raise children differently, don't you? Why? Because children are different. When I say you raise them differently, I mean in how you respond to them. So when Katie prayed for Kweku, the prayer, "Lord, help him to uniquely respond to this little one, not anybody else, but the way she needs to hear the tone of the voice, the inflection, everything from the touch, the look, everything is communicating something." And so God give us wisdom in doing all of that. But yesterday, I'm cleaning this home. And I'm minding my business, and I'm cleaning the steps. And this little boy's on the piano. He's 5 or 6 years old. Asian home, Asian family. And the mother is giving him a lesson. And I hear him playing, and he's been playing for a while. He's been playing for like a half an hour, maybe 45, I don't know how long, but he's been playing for a while. So as I'm coming down the steps, I'm cleaning the steps, the thought, I don't know why, it just crossed my mind. How long is the father gonna put up with this? I don't know where. I'm like, where the fuck? And as soon as that thought crossed my mind, the father got up. He was watching television. He got up and he walked over to the boy and he said something to him in his native language. He was scolding the boy for some odd reason. And he was shaking the remote at him. He was mad. Shaking the remote. And then the father reared back with the remote like this, like he was gonna hit the kid. He reared back and the boy, you know, went back. And I'm busy cleaning the steps, but I'm in the room. See, I'm cleaning the steps, but I'm in the room, and I'm watching this. And I mean, it was, and I've had that happen before, that before something happens, a thought will cross my mind, and then what the thought was actually played out. And now you know we don't know the future, but he does.
Yes, he does.
Come on. He knew what was about to happen, and he sent a thought cross, and I didn't even get to respond, but that it played itself out. And I said, wow, Lord, my sheep hear my voice. Listen, you hear. We all hear. Paul said, if indeed you have heard him. If indeed you have heard him. And to be one of his, indeed you have to hear him. Amen? Okay. So you say, well, okay, if that's the truth, then how? How do I hear him? Well, we know. What's the primary number one way we hear from God? Thank you. The primary number one way we hear from God. Paul is saying, if indeed you have heard him, the number one way is the scriptures. That's how we hear from God. He sent his word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us through the preaching and teaching of God's word. We hear from God through the preaching and teaching of God's word. Then there's the precious indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened yesterday. Through the precious indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we hear from God. Okay? We hear Christ. We hear him. Then there are authorities. Hello. We hear from God. We hear from God through authorities when we're driving 65 in a 45. And that sign says 45. You have just heard from God. Amen. You think it's not so? Keep driving 65 in that 45, and the power will meet with you and cause you to understand that there's authority above you and above you and above and above and above, and all authority comes from God. So there are authorities, both civil, spiritual, parental. Come on, children. We who have parents, and we're not grown. Come on. We have authorities over us. There's, of course, there's general revelation. You can walk outside, be walking down the street, look up at the sky and hear from God. Dreams, visions, impressions, promptings, and then, of course, circumstances. And so all of these ways, we hear him. Even Paul even said it one time when he had a dream and the Spirit told him not to go into Asia at the time. And so they went to a different place. Okay, so how this is all about the fact that we hear God. Your shepherd knows you intimately. According to Jesus, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Those known of the shepherd and listen to the shepherd are obedient to the shepherd. Why? Because when you hear the word of the shepherd, every word brings change to your life. Every word brings change to your life. Let me go on now. So that's having heard him. Paul said also that if you've heard him, that you have been taught by him. You have been taught by him. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You yourselves are taught by God to love one another. What's Paul talking about? Well, first we hear. I can show you us, you and I, being taught by God to love one another. When you're walking through the house and there's this prompting comes up in your spirit, says, call brother so-and-so, call sister so-and-so, or something comes in, says, go buy them some flowers, or take them a car, or stop past somebody's house. Go over to sister so-and-so's house. What is that? That's God meeting a need of one of his sheep through causing someone else to hear and be instructed. He's teaching us to love one another. Because let me tell you what is not human nature, to simply care. It's not. Here, let me tell you what human nature is. Care about me. That's human nature. But to be concerned and filled with love and compassion for someone else, that comes from God. Amen? And so, the inspiration to make the call, to provide the need, the needed encouragement, to meet the need, to confront a brother or sister who is in error, to comfort the faint-hearted, to uphold the weak, All these things, all this is God teaching us to love one another. Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Lord says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will instruct you or guide you with my eye. And so the Lord says, what Paul is saying here in the New Testament, as you have been, that you have been taught by Christ, the Old Testament says, David declared in Psalms 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. John, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, the Apostle John wrote this, but the anointing, he said, in verse 26, he says, these things I write to you concerning those who would deceive you. The next verse, he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Do you know that when you hear anyone preach or teach the word of God, that there is an anointing in you that teaches you what is true concerning what they say? That is why when you're listening to someone, it happens to me all the time. I'm watching TV. If I ever turn on TBN or CBN or anything, and someone's getting up and they're going to preach and teach and declare the word of God, if they say something that the Spirit of the Lord does not agree with, on the inside, the true teacher says, you ever had that happen? Come on. You feel something, you say, no, something about that ain't sitting right. Who is that? What is that? It's Christ in us. It's the anointing. It's the teacher on the inside of us who is teaching us. So all of God's people here, all of God's people are taught by him. Now, so we go on. So then this becomes the understanding. So you and I have heard Christ this week, and we've been taught by Christ this week. And then here comes the question. So what have we learned from Christ this week? Because Paul said, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, some of us say, well, we can be so deep in what we learn from God when what Christ is teaching is so deep that it's so simple and it's so plain. Now, I would like to think, you know, the Old Testament says Elijah was a man with like passions such as we. And I would like to think that I'm not the only person that when I get in my car and go to drive somewhere, I'm not the only person who trying to get where I'm driving. Okay? So that when people get on the road who are not at all concerned about where they're driving, that it begins to elicit certain reactions in your person that then you have to deal with. Can I say that then Christ would make that a point where he would teach? He would use that as an opportunity to teach. And so what I've learned this past week, you're free to share what you've learned. See, because while we all like to be deep and say, well, I don't know if he, oh, I guarantee you, sit down, think about it for half a second. Christ has taught and you have learned something of his person. See, because you have to understand, you two, we are never separate from him. He said, I'm with you always. And so when I'm in the car gyrating and carrying on, I don't gyrate, but when I'm in the car, and I don't know about you, I'm a man, I can't do more than one thing at a time, because I'm a guy. I'm not a lady who can multitask and, you know, all this. So when I get in the car, I get in there for one reason and one reason only. That is to leave here and go to there, which means I'm always looking at the light when it turns green, and I'm trying to figure out why you sitting there 10 seconds after the light is green. And I make full use of that little thing they gave me on the center of the steering wheel to get you on point. You understand what I'm saying? So why I said all that to say this is that the Lord is always teaching me about this life. Okay? And, you know, I always tell my children growing up, you don't always get to have it the way you want it. So life is not like that. Okay? You don't get it the way you want it. So you have to. And so patience, long-suffering, what it means to endure, you know, really, because you say, well, is that such a big thing? If he's living in the house, this is his house. He's living in the house. Oh, yes. And so he's constantly teaching me how it is that I'm to respond, not only to traffic, but, you know, so many other situations when in people's homes, when customers, they're bringing it all the wrong way. And when God's teaching you something, I'm a big on preparation. My kids will tell you what preparation is. What? Thank you. Preparation is what? Everything. This is where I am. Preparation. So when I go to the house, I am prepared. When I come to your house, if I come to your house and you are not prepared, guess what? I find myself getting in a funk. I was like, I can't believe these people. This is what's going on the inside. And the Holy Ghost, now Christ, who lives inside now, is starting to deal with me. He's dealing with me. And so I have to change. I have to change. And you say, for real? Christ does that? Hello? Hello? Yes, he does. Why? Because I am his house. You are his house. But as we'll see next week, Paul is he's going to apply this to what it means to live in a way that honors God and to live in a way that maybe they hadn't seen before, that definitely they hadn't seen before, because this was revelation brought by the apostle. So the question then becomes, if we're hearing and he's teaching, then it becomes our responsibility to learn. Becomes our responsibility to learn. What's the line says? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on who? Shame on me. Why? Yeah, because if you did it twice, it means I didn't learn the first time. You see what I'm saying? So then it becomes my responsibility to learn something. Listen, when you go through something, when God allows you to go through something in this life, guess what he expects you to do from that? He expects you to learn. He expects you to learn something. He expects us to learn, right? And so the word learn means to gain or acquire knowledge or a skill, something, in something, by study, experience, or by being taught. By study, experience, or by being taught. Jesus said in John 6:45, as it is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught by God. They all shall be taught by God. That's Isaiah 54:13. They all shall be taught by God, and great shall be the peace of your children. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Therefore, everyone who has heard, there's hearing, learned, there's learned from the Father comes to me. The three words that we're studying in Ephesians chapter 4 are all present here in John 6:45. They shall all be taught. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Not that I speak in regard to need. Paul was talking about those who were going to minister to him in giving and offerings. He says in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. And so Paul was thanking them for their gift, monetary gift, or whatever it may have been that ministered to his need. But he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. I have learned. What are we learning? What are we learning? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me. Listen, who do you spend more time with than anyone else in your family? Jesus. From the moment we wake up to the moment we lay down at night, we are with him and we're learning from him. Come on. We're learning. So Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Okay? So Paul says this. Paul, who's been walking with God now throughout his ministry, he says, for I have learned. Let's see how many of us have learned what Paul learned. Listen to this. For I have learned in whatever state I'm in. Now, he's not talking about New Mexico or Mississippi or New York. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Hello. So what that means is, son, when I'm sitting at the light and it's a long light and the person in front of me is checking their 10th email or text, and we done missed the light. Hello. And I'm trying to get to B. I just left A, trying to get to B. That whatever state I am in, to be content. Hello. Paul says I learned, which means he didn't always know that. Hello. I know how to be abased. Paul was taught by God through the circumstances of life that one's attitude is not determined by one's condition. Hello? Paul was taught by God through the circumstances of life that one's attitude is not determined by one's condition. This is why I say that what happens in you is infinitely more important than what happens to you. What happens in you is infinitely more important than what happens to you. Okay. So indeed, many circumstances have been changed due to the attitude of the one in the circumstance. We see that in Acts chapter 16:25, when Paul and Silas, who were in a very bad situation, could have just ho-hummed and complained. Instead, they sang praises to God, and their attitude, their defense, but that their disposition changed their circumstance, right? So, I know how to be abased, Paul says, and I know how to abound. Do you know how to be abased? Know how to be low? Huh? I wrote down this for myself. Things break. Hello? I work with mechanical stuff, and this is what I found out in this life. Things break. Things always break. But this is one thing I learned. When things break, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. What does it mean? It means things break. That's what it means. It's just part of life, right? So, do you know how to be abased? Do we know how to be abased and how to suffer being brought low? Do we know how to abound? Do we know how to abound? Ecclesiastes 7:14 says this, enjoy prosperity whenever you can. And when hard times strike, realize that God gives one as well as the other, so that everyone will realize that nothing is certain in this life. He's talking about economics. He's talking about, at least the commentary says that he's talking about, and we've had times of great plenty in this nation, 2006 and prior. Business was rolling. I remember the graphs. It was just everything, revenue, everything's going up and up. 2007, 2008, Bear Stearns and the market, everything just went down. And we entered into a recession. Solomon said, enjoy prosperity whenever you can. And when hard times strike, realize that God gives one as well as the other. Listen, what the Message version says, on a good day, enjoy yourself. On a bad day, examine your conscience. God arranges for both kinds of days. So when Paul says, I have learned how to be abased and how to abound, he's saying, I realize that no matter what happens, whether it's a high day or a low day, I have learned, he says, to be content everywhere and in all things. Listen to what Paul says. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, Paul says, nothing about my walk with God is going to be compromised by whether I'm having a high or a low day. It doesn't matter. I'm content whether I'm full or whether I'm empty. Paul says, I'm content in God. And so, Paul learned. God took him through. God allowed him to go through it. But Paul learned from what God allowed him to go through. And then the last phrase in verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus. The truth that is Jesus and in Jesus and is in Jesus is the truth that will manifest as being in us through the lives that we live. Through the lives that we live. And so, there was a very sad incident of a pastor I mentioned on Tuesday, who is a part of the Trump campaign. And he was going through a time of exaltation. And the scripture says, Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I also know how to abound. And this man was abounding. He spoke at the Republican National Convention. He spoke, he's riding on Trump's plane. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. He's on CNN. He's on all the news channels speaking in Trump's behalf, which is a rise for this pastor of this small, no one knew who he was, this church. And as I looked at what happened to him in the last week and a half, I thought to myself, what happened? Because I don't know if you know what happened to this pastor, Mark Burns. But as the popularity and everything grew, he didn't tend to needs in his life. And the needs would simply be this. Because the scripture says, as the truth is in Jesus, we're learning because we're hearing, because we're being taught as the truth is in Jesus. And I want to make application because I know the Lord. And I know that what happened to this pastor, God would never have allowed to happen to him without God speaking to him and saying, son, put this right, make this right, change this, come on, change, make it right. But when we don't learn, God says, okay, then I'm going to have to allow this to happen. And so this pastor on national television was outed by CNN, who caught him in four lies that he had posted on his website. He was just lying about his resume. He lied that he was a part of this Kappa Psi fraternity. He lied that he had a four-year degree when he went there once, when they went to this graduate school for, or not even graduate school, he went to the school for one semester. He lied about being in the Army Reserves, and he lied about the fourth thing I can't even remember. And the CNN man just said, is all this correct? And the man at one point couldn't even respond. He says, is this correct? And the man's just sitting there like this. And it was very clear, very clear. And then on national television, he lied to try and get out of his lie. You know how that works. It doesn't. Okay? It does not work. He lied and then told another lie on top of the lie that he told to get out of his trouble. And it didn't work. And it was sad. And I'm trying to deal with this as the truth is in Jesus. We're learning because we're hearing and we're being taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And you'll see when we get further down into verse 26. The first thing Paul says this: therefore, let us not lie to one another. What he starts with, when he starts talking about the life, the change of the life that we live, he starts talking about, therefore, let us not lie one to another. And so I know God in his grace deals with the beautiful thing about God living within us and a changed life is this. The moment a thought crosses your mind about wiggling your way out of what is the correct way, the moment it raises its head, the Holy Spirit's all over it. Because an unjust balance, remember Proverbs, an unjust balance, he hates it. And he knows when the butcher cuts the meat and puts the meat on the scale, he knows if the thumb is touching the scale. Come on. You heard all these stories. He knows when the thumb is on the scale. He knows when the thought crosses in your mind to put the thumb on the scale. Mm-mm. As the truth is in Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray. Help us to learn what you are so beautifully teaching us each day, that we might live lives of truth that bring glory to your name and good to humanity. Father, you are speaking. Christ Jesus, you said we hear you and you're teaching us. Now it's our job to learn that which you're teaching. Help us this day to learn the lessons, oh God, that you are bringing to us so beautifully and so powerfully through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. All this week we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good. What is it? Is it 80s? Okay.